right, mate. How you doing? Welcome back to another Spencer FC podcast. It's the second one ever. Before we start, I've got to say thank you very much for those of you that listened to the first one. Amazing. Well, numbers. We're fourth on the UK iTunes chart, so it'd be amazing if we can get somewhere like that again. Excellent stuff. And also thanks to our sponsors, Dream Team FC, for making it all possible. I'm doing a weekly blog on there every week from now on. So there's a link in the description on the video. And make sure you, if you're listening on the podcast, it doesn't make any sense. But it's dreamteamfc.com is the link you need to go to if you want to see it and you can't see my YouTube video right now. Anyway, guys, as usual, I'm joined by Mr. Thomas Gray. We had him here last week. Good to see you again, Tom.
Good to see you too, my dear friend.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. Guess what? I was on a train with Sol Campbell yesterday.
Is that as a friend or just a coincidence?
Not as a friend, as a pure coincidence. He wasn't even in... what do you call it?
First
upper class.
Class.
Yeah, it's just with his family and normal.
Is he still trying to be the mayor of London? Or is that
no, I think he's now trying to sort of invest in football projects in South London or something.
Because he couldn't get enough support to be mayor.
Couldn't, yeah, I don't think he had the, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good to know. We'll talk more about Sol Campbell later.
Sure.
We've also got a third guest today, my good friend, Poet. How are you?
I'm all right. I was on the train with my mum yesterday.
Oh, damn it. Always trying to talk me.
Nah, and I had some food stuck in my teeth today that I've just eaten. It's like I was kind of hungry, so I've saved it.
And that's a highlight.
That's the highlight of my day.
So we're going to talk. We're going to do some football talking, obviously. But later on in the show, we're going to find out more about you because I think a lot of people will know you from Copper 90. You and Vjanic doing the presenting for Comments Below and lots of other things as well.
Yeah.
Some people would have seen you on my channel, the Wembley Cup, my centre back partner.
My like Rio, aka, but yeah.
Winning centre back partner as well. We won the game. Solid performance from you in that one, mate.
Why bless you.
Cheers for getting me involved in that, by the way.
Yeah. You were injured, weren't you?
Yeah.
Next time.
Both hamstrings.
So we're going to find out more about the legend that is Poet later on, but let's get straight into the action. We've got to talk about some football, obviously. Yeah. Now, it was a talking point last week because they got a draw against United, but it's even more a talking point this week, guys, is Leicester City. Mm-hmm. They are just unstoppable right now. Top of the league, 3-0 win away against Swansea, a win that has put Gary Monk's job in jeopardy. What is going on at Swansea and can they sustain it? Tom Gray, over to you first.
What is it that's going on at Swansea?
Oh, sorry, I meant Leicester. What is happening at Leicester? Can they sustain it?
Well, I think we talked about this a little bit in the last one. I think momentum is a thing, isn't it, with these teams when they come up and do really well. But it seems
they
like
had a season last year, though. Obviously,
they did. They had that run at the they had the sort of 13 game run at the end, didn't they? Yeah, they did incredibly well. I think the difference is they seem to have some actually very good players. It doesn't seem like just a well worked unit. It seems like Mahrez and Vardy and co are good, so I don't know.
Yeah, they might keep it going.
Well, why would those players leave in January if Leicester are still top? Why would they leave? There's no reason to.
So if they keep those boys,
I think if they keep them, they'll do. Yeah.
You think their squad as is capable of like
no
around the area?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay,
just so it's on record.
As someone that supports a club that are actually competing essentially with Leicester now, because Arsenal are
mad,
in that race, I guess. Can Leicester keep doing it?
I think it's a bit ludicrous for us to be talking about a title race in December. We haven't even gone past Christmas yet or even approached January sales. So,
maybe not Leicester as title contenders, though, but as top four contenders, say.
I don't see it happening. I remember, I was saying this morning to Vuj, I remember 1998, John Gregory, manager of Aston Villa.
Yeah.
I remember them being top at Christmas, a 1-0 win away from home. And me saying to everyone, as great as this win is, even we were beating them 2-0 and they came back and beat us 3-2 at Villa Park. And I was like, as great as this win is, Aston Villa will not at all challenge for top four come May. They're not going to be in it purely because when it comes to like March, February, it's all about mentality. If you've been through that situation before, it's very, very difficult because Leicester are playing free. No expectation. Mm. Wonderful. Come February, March, where the fans be, wait a minute, we can actually do this, then comes expectation. Now, Vardy, I feel, is a good player. Mahrez, good players, but when that weight of expectation comes on their shoulders, I begin to wonder how far they can go. And I do think, mate, they'll apple crumble.
I'll tell you what, interesting fact, you brought it up there, Aston Villa that season.
Yeah.
Got a good stat for you.
Mm-hmm.
In the history of the Premier League,
yeah,
a club that is top of the table at this point in the season
has
never finished lower than sixth. And that was Aston Villa that finished sixth.
Yeah.
Every other team has finished fifth or fourth or third or even first, whatever. So stats would say Leicester are going to be top six, which is still more than I think most Leicester fans expect.
Yeah, stats at one point would have said Mesut Ozil was the best player in the Premier League, but if you watched him, it clearly wasn't. So stats are stats, isn't it? It's just about, like I said, there are weird things happening. Stats last season said that Chelsea were the best team in the Premier League. They won the Premier League. This season, they're what, 16th, 15th? So yeah, there's only so much you can read into stats at the end of the day. But I do appreciate what Leicester City are doing. I think it's amazing.
You think they might buck that trend and finish outside the top six?
Maybe not outside the top six. it wouldn't surprise me, though. It clearly wouldn't surprise me. But as for top four, they're not going to finish top four.
I think the most important thing is that they've transformed themselves into a team that were sort of every now and then coming up into the Premier League. You know, that kind of, they weren't really a yo-yo team, were they? But that sort of, they've been in the Championship for a while.
Yeah.
And they've done what I think Southampton did a few years ago, where they came up, established themselves as a good team with a good mentality.
Southampton
good
didn't
players.
Do this, though. Southampton didn't.
No, they didn't. They didn't. So, but what I mean is, if it does fall apart and they do end up finishing seventh, that's still Leicester finishing seventh in the Premier League, which is an accomplishment. And it will still feel a little bit demoralising at the end of the season if that's what happens, given the expectation, but still, it's, you know, aim high on your target.
At the end of the day, they would have taken seventh at the start of the season,
of course.
And I think also the thing about Leicester, well, my theory on Leicester is that it's all about those two big guys. I know it's a team effort, and Albrighton doesn't get the headlines he deserves because he's playing really well. But Mahrez is what you could call him. They can buy. We should call him Mahrez from now on. That's trademark Spencer FC. Mahrez and Vardy, so important to them. If one of them or both of them get injured, which, if you look at Arsenal, the amount of players you've got out for injury, West Ham, we're missing Payet, Valencia, Sacco, Lanzini. Mm. They need to lose one of them, and their team is built around them so importantly. Can they do it with Uchoa and Okazaki instead of Vardy and Mahrez? Are they good enough to take that mantle? Or do you think if they get injured, they're going to just drop the points?
I'm not going to put all the praise on them two boys at the top. There's an individual in the centre midfield. I can't remember what his name is.
Drinkwater.
Not Drinkwater. Plays beside
Kante?
Him. Kante. He's been incredible from what I've seen. Mm. Very, very, very good player. And I think there's loads of other people making contributions. Schmeichel coming out and just saying that as together, as a unit, they work really, really well because they're good friends off the pitch and they have several conversations with each other. So that team unit, I feel like if one of them people did go out injured, yes, they may not be able to score as much goals as they're scoring now. But in the same breath, I feel like they will still go on and do particularly well purely because they've got like a good team morale.
Yeah,
and I think that's what's bringing them through this patch now. But like I said, when it comes to February, March, they're not going to do well. And it is true, if they do lose one of them players, they'll have problems. But I don't think that would be the reason why they don't succeed for the rest of the season. I feel like even if them two boys manage to stay fit for the whole season, they still get to a point where in which they're like, uh-oh. They concede far too many goals for me.
I think the interesting thing that though is the majority of that team has had experience of, you're talking about the pressure of that, you know, March period, which is a thing, and it'll be a different sort of pressure, but they all went through that relegation battle last year. They've got the experience of,
well, they had to win, they were
having
the form
win
they
games.
Were on when they got out of that was Champions League form at
now,
least
yeah but
they're the best team in the year, aren't they? Not just the season, the calendar year, they're the best team.
It is a different pressure though. I think there's, it's a different thing to fight for survival because it's almost, what, you've got nothing to lose. You've got to, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas for this sort of thing, there's a tactic to it. So maybe let's get a draw here and try and get. And when that starts not working, you then start to lose faith, and you know.
And at some point, these teams that are going to Leicester are going to start treating them like a United and a Man City. They're going to start going and defending and saying, "Look, because Leicester's game's all about counter-attacking, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about hitting on the break. But if, you know, I don't know, next time Swansea or Newcastle go there, they line up and they say, right, we'll treat these like the big boys, we won't try and hold on to the ball, we'll try and hit them on the counter, give them possession, put the onus on Leicester, will they be the same team? Mm. It's going to be really interesting to see if they do fall apart. It's going to have to be pretty large, like, scale destruction of form for them to actually come outside of the top 10, say.
Yeah.
I think they definitely should feel like they're going to be a top 10 finish, but realistically, the way they're going, they've got to be considered for higher. With that in mind, I want to play a little game with you guys now. Jamie Vardy's become like the kind of poster boy of the nation of sorts recently. Everyone's talking about him. One of the songs, Jamie Vardy's having a party. We're going to play a game called Jamie Vardy's Having a Party. Now, what I want you to do, both of you, imagine you were Jamie Vardy's hired party planner. Okay, you've been hired to put on a birthday party for Jamie Vardy. What do you do? What would you think he'd be into? What sort of party would Jamie Vardy like? Tom, what are you thinking?
Well, first of all, I'd thank him for allowing me to arrange it. What an honour. Good for the portfolio, yeah. I reckon he'd like a sort of, maybe a Butlin's holiday or something in a caravan with some of the boys. Maybe not Butlin's, maybe like Corfu. I think he'd appreciate a tan, Jamie Vardy.
Yeah, he'd love a tan.
Jekyll, yeah, like a cheeky tan.
A cheeky little tan for his cheeky little body. I don't know what that means. And then... Yeah, sort of karaoke. I reckon he'd like karaoke. Yeah.
Okay.
And just a general good time. Probably arrange some paintballing or something like that.
Oh, I think he'd like
sort
that.
Sort of team sport game.
What about you, Poet? What are you going to do for Jamie Vardy's party?
Beat that, Poet.
I just don't know. He's gone through so many transitions in his life. I just feel to myself, what could I offer a man that has a Mohican 1 point and 5 years ago had cane roll? I also would thank him for the opportunity to organise his party.
Very gracious party planners, you guys. Copycat. That's why you get repeat business.
What a copycat.
I am. Yeah. And then I would like get a sponsor like WKD. He looks like he looks like a wicked time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good shout.
Then I'll get Tyson Fury to sing at the event, which I feel like he would love.
Hang on, Tyson Fury didn't specify the budget. I didn't he's got a bigger budget than me.
No, but Tyson Fury looks like a nice guy. Like if you reach out to him, like, oh Tyson, could you come and sing at this point? He's always singing as it is.
He might be like, he just wants a gig.
He just wants a gig. Given the opportunity at Vardy's having a party.
Yeah,
of course he's going to want to go.
Party of the year. It's the Vardy party.
What guests should we invite other than the teammates and so on? Who should we?
I think he'd like the cast of My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding to come.
Yeah,
I think that is incredible. That is incredible. The cast.
They could go grabbing.
Yeah.
What else could we get though? Because we want to make this an epic. You might have to have something in Essex.
Oh,
whoa! What are we saying about Essex here, guys? We're going into dangerous territory here. Mate. Come on.
Saying one of the best goal scorers in English football at the moment would want to spend his time in Essex.
Perfect.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Yeah.
Don't be so.
Come to Essex.
Yeah. With individuals that not yourself, Spencer, but have the IQ of a brick wall, such as half the cast on The Only Way Is Essex.
Yeah.
Which I could see Vardy fitting in with.
What's the to be fair, I think
yeah, they would be getting banged, wouldn't they? If he was to go to Towie, a lot of people would be getting banged.
Yeah.
But what do you mean? Because that can be interpreted many different ways.
I know. I mean,
Towie now, if you watch it, a lot of people get banged in a different kind of sense. Okay. I'm talking about more of the kind of, you know, Tyson Fury banging sense. Tyson Fury and Vardy, by the way, would be a sick WWE tag team.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Fury and Vardy.
Yeah.
Like, Vardy be the little nippy one. Yeah. When he's getting beaten up a bit, he tags in Fury, he climbs over the ropes, he knocks down the Undertaker, knocks down Kane. Vardy's done. Oh, that would be so sick.
We should try and make that happen, maybe. Yeah. All right, well, so I'm going to think about that. I've got to give a winner. I thought one of you was going to go down like a sort of bowling Quasar route. I thought you'd quite liked that, Jamie.
I think Laser Quest.
Laser Quest.
I forgot to mention it, but that was also.
You went paintball, to be fair.
Yeah. The thing is, I said Butlins, and what you didn't realise by that is I meant Laser Quest, swimming, tenpin bowling, cinema.
Arcades.
There's a Burger King there as well.
Do you think Vardy's that boring?
Have you been to Butlins a few times?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skegness, not. There's another one somewhere.
It's a classic. Yeah. It's a classic. I'm going to give the point for that one to. I'm actually going to give it to Tom, because I feel like, Poet, you went about more down the kind of where they'd go and who would be there rather than what they'd do route.
Yeah, so you're right.
No, I think as a party planner, you're more of a PR guy. You're getting him in the papers hanging out with Tyson Fury, but Tom's put on a great party for him.
Yeah. I was going to bring him to a Grime event on stage with Skepta. Now, I thought that would have been pretty good. And got the whole crowd to see.
Your party planning business is basically taking people around where you go.
Exactly, yeah. Follow me around.
Just come with me, mate.
Yeah, mate. Oh, you want to go over there? What, Butlins? I'll scrap that, mate. Let's go to the hood.
All right, well, Tom Gray's going to make a bit of party planner in my mind. Now, someone that's not having a party right now is Gary Monk. Potentially on the verge of being sacked, what we're hearing. In fact, by the time this podcast goes out, he may well have lost his job. So if he has, you understand why we're talking like he hasn't. But first things first, does Gary Monk deserve the sack, Poet?
No, not at all. Not at all. I just don't. At the start of the season, everyone was praising the efforts of Gary Monk and Gomez and how well he was playing. And I think they got some good wins against United.
Yeah, Montero and Gomez with that celebration. Mm. We haven't seen that celebration in a few weeks, though. That's the problem.
Well, the problem is, I just don't think he's been given enough of a budget to compete with some of the teams. You take a look now, you've got Stoke spending ridiculous money. You've got a lot of teams in and around Swansea's team, which are spending huge amounts of money. Now, if he doesn't financially keep up with the likes of Stoke and so on and so forth, unfortunately for him, he's going to find himself falling behind later on in the season, because all Swansea were doing, I feel, at the start of the season, they had a settled side and they were probably just picking up from where they left off last season. The likes of Stoke, I said to everyone, they're going to get better because they've just got a lot of new additions. When everyone gets settled, that's when you're going to start seeing teams like Swansea, so on and so forth, having a problem, because I don't see how they can get much better with what they have. Mm. And I think that's what sort of happened now.
Look at it from his perspective. He lost his best player in the middle of last season, Wilfred Bonny.
Yeah.
Replaced him with Gomi, who at the time wasn't even starting in the side, let's remember.
At all. Yeah.
Obviously had some good form, got some goals, and got some good goals at the start of this season. But his squad, like you say, has not actually come on. Montero was not a big signing. He had a good start. He was a pacey player, but they haven't spent a lot of money. Obviously, before that, when Rodgers left, he took a lot of their players with them. So, you know, the players that had come up with them. The problem is, though, and what I'm hearing is that Ashley Williams, who is the captain of the side, has had a big fallout with Gary Monk.
Oh,
and
is
he
it?
Actually said he will not play for him anymore.
What?
If that's true, that's what we're hearing, then that's a real problem. And you've got to go down one side. You've got to go the manager or the captain, haven't you?
Mate, where'd you get this information from?
My sources, mate, on WhatsApp.
Bit of ketchup and mayonnaise. No,
but did you see also, did you see Ashley Williams, what he did with Mahrez at the Leicester game on the weekend? Apparently he ran out of the stadium chasing the Leicester bus, Ashley Williams.
What?
He had an absolute mental breakdown, basically. He wasn't happy with something Mahrez did on the pitch, went chasing after the bus. So he's not having a good time, Ashley Williams. I don't know if that's to do with Gary Monk or not, but there's definitely a problem there. This, for me, I agree with you, Poe. I think he deserves time, but eventually you get to a point when a manager and players fall out. It happened with Rodgers at Liverpool. They clearly lost belief in him.
Yeah,
happened with Big Sam at West Ham. Everyone, there's a lot of people that were in favour of Big Sam, but after that bad run of defeats towards the end of last season, the players stopped wanting to play for him. So if it gets to that point, Tom, surely Gary Monk's got to go.
Well, yeah, I think I agree with both of you. I think he's a good manager. I think, as Poet was saying, you know, at the beginning of the season, people were talking about him as the next England manager. But it's one of these, if they sack him, it's not because he's a bad manager. It's because sometimes these things happen. Sometimes when you've lost faith in someone, it's just, yeah, it's very difficult to kind of regain that, I think. I mean, there's talk of Brendan Rodgers potentially going back.
Well, that was my next question, was who would they replace him? Brendan Rodgers or David Moyes? Who would you have at Swansea, well, if Monk does
Poet, Poet was saying earlier, how many examples can you think of successful comeback stories? And, you know, there was Dalglish at Liverpool, failure. Keegan at Newcastle, failure.
RoboCop 2, failure. Me and my ex-girlfriend, failure.
Home Alone 2, success. So there are some.
There are exceptions to the rule.
Thierry Henry with
success.
Yeah. I just think when you look at the amount of managers that are around right now, Swansea, you've got to look at it. Like, even when they fired Michael Laudrup, I was like, I think you've got to give these boys a little bit more time. Like, they surely have a 5-year plan to some extent. Let them get halfway through the journey before you say to yourself, do you know what, this isn't going to work. Because Gary Monk last season had a good season at the start of the season, which is not like years away. It's literally like 3 months.
I agree. But Swansea are a club that cannot afford to be relegated.
Yeah.
If they get relegated, there's no guarantee they come back.
If they get rid of Gary Monk, there's no guarantee that they're still not going to get relegated.
I agree. And I think it's not the time yet, but I think we're getting close to it. I think coming up to that busy Christmas period where we have a lot of games, that's a part that can make or break your season. If he struggles to pick up points, I mean, the performance against Leicester, let's face it, Leicester are flying, but they got absolutely destroyed. I think that they need to see something in the next few games, for sure. I'm all for giving managers a chance, but they're on a real downward curve.
I think they have to stick with him till January, and then if they make a decision, make it then. Don't let it linger till January the 22nd and then sack him, because then the next guy's got, you know, 8 days to buy players or whatever.
Okay, so
it's just a decision that needs to be made pretty soon, I would say.
To sum up, if he goes, are you Moyes or are you Rodgers?
I would have said Moyes originally, but I don't respect him for not learning Spanish when he went across to Spain, so I'm going to say Rodgers.
Okay, who did learn Welsh, of course, when he went to Swansea. Poet?
Mate, it's like asking, do I want ginger nuts or chocolate biscuits? I don't like either of them, so... I just don't know what to do. I mean,
so you go, you're Keep Monk camp then. We'll say you're a Keep Monk.
I'm Keep Monk, man.
Okay, you're Keep Monk. Another manager that could be going, seems crazy to think about it after obviously last season, but it's Mourinho. Chelsea cannot buy a win. Losing to Bournemouth, surely that's got to be the final nail in the coffin. All due respect to Bournemouth. 10 years ago, when Chelsea got their money, where were Bournemouth? They were barely in the Football League system, right? And they've just beaten Chelsea at home. Back in the day, talking about successful comeback stories, I guess Mourinho is one in the extent that he won the league, but when he used to be manager here, they just did not lose at home.
Yeah.
Not to Bournemouth, not to Real Madrid, to nobody.
Yeah.
He just got mugged off by Bournemouth in his own backyard.
I think the biggest problem with Chelsea, and I've said it from day one, when they first came to the Premier League, it was a whole different time in the world of the Premier League. It didn't have as much money as it has now, and I think they beat a lot of people. It was Muhammad Ali syndrome. They beat a lot of people before they even stepped onto the pitch with them. You saw the amount of money they had, you saw the intimidation, Mourinho's talk. Now, years on, everyone's got money. We're all spending large amounts of money, so now it's more than intimidation. You need to get it right on the pitch. Now, Cosmo Reed, that's happened to Mourinho, a couple of sources as well that I've got on my WhatsApp, told me that he's had a bust up with Costa.
Yeah,
and the reason why that's believable for me is, mate, when I go Carnaby Street to have a little bit of a dance, Costa's always out.
Is he?
Always out. And if you take a look at the commitment of a player who's just come from abroad, who's always out, next to someone like John Terry, who bleeds Chelsea, surely when you're coming in fresh and ready for training and someone's just been out the night before, they're coming in a little bit jaded, so on and so forth, and things are not going particularly well, surely you look at him and say, look, mate, you've got to put it together. Not only are you setting a bad example for the Chelsea youngsters, but, mate, we're not playing well. We need our best players to be in the best possible condition so we can get out of this situation. We're the champions. Mm. We're not even behaving like champions, let alone performing like champions. So I think all of them type of situations there is what's causing Chelsea to be where they are now. I don't think it's Mourinho's tactics. I don't think it's his approach. I genuinely think there's certain characters within that team who have just don't respect Mourinho at all.
Which is, I think, crazy, considering that's happened quite fast, right?
I think it's quite a good... It's what foreign sort of players and managers always seem to talk about when they talk about the Premier League from an outside perspective, that it's a league where you can lose at home to six, you know, be someone like Chelsea and lose at home to 16th place, whatever, yeah. Which doesn't happen so much, I don't think, in the other leagues. But no. That's a good thing. And also, it's quite fun to see a good team not do well.
I mean, I agree completely. I'm in that camp. Chelsea. I think we've had that in our league for a while, that anyone can beat anyone. I think this year is the year of that. Everyone's beating everyone. However, it doesn't... you can't use that rule to explain the Chelsea situation because they're not winning against anyone.
Yeah.
You know, the West Ham's win against them means pretty much nothing now because everyone's got one.
It seems to it was since this what's she called?
Eva Carneria. Yes. That was the big mistake, yeah. I think. There's rumours there about stuff going on with her and one of the players and things like this.
I bet it's Terry would have got in there.
It's always a Belgian.
He would have tried.
So there's lots of stuff going on there.
Wow.
But the question is, can Mourinho turn it around? I don't know if he can. He's got a big game against Porto that should be happening tonight when you hear this podcast, unless you listen to it late. Mourinho could already be sacked as well. This could be the last time we're talking about Mourinho and Monk. They could both be sacked by the next podcast. Let's move on to something a bit more cheerful. I didn't think, Poet, when we got you in here and we talked about Arsenal, we were going to be talking about positives. But we are, despite having a lot of players injured, missing so many, probably more than you've had off in a long time.
Yeah.
You got the win. Not only did you get the win, a nice win, 3-1 against Sunderland, you got the win on a weekend where all the other guys didn't get points.
Yeah.
Man U drew, Chelsea lost, Liverpool lost. Tottenham drew and City lost. Perfect weekend for you, right?
Oh, it's a great weekend, man. And we played awful. Sunderland deserved a point at least in that game. We played absolutely awful. So just that alone makes me go, do you know what? The fact that we're playing bad and we can get a win makes me happy. Because just at this point,
of a champion.
I don't care. Hopefully. I think we've got so many injuries. You take a look, Santi out for 3 months now. Sanchez out for a month. We've got no Cochrane for 3 months. Wilshere's been on the NHS for God knows how long. Welbeck's at university. Like, no one's about. But regardless, and despite all of that, we're still getting results. And I know the past two games we haven't been that great, barring the Sunderland game. But like I said, as an Arsenal fan, 2 points off the top in December. Do I care?
And
not
it's
at
Leicester
all.
As well.
And it's only Leicester. No disrespect to Leicester. I've said I just want Arsenal to be in the conversation come January.
Yep.
Make a couple of additions and possibly.
Well,
there's
a big if.
You have a history of doing well from January, don't you?
You actually expect them to make additions.
Arsenal tend to do well in the second
from January.
Half
Yeah, but then you also need to have a collapse around March. But going back to your earlier point, make a couple of additions in January. Wenger only goes for loans, doesn't he?
Yeah, like Kimi Kallström. But you know what? I just feel like, Kallström was the worst thing I've seen since.
Who do you realistically think he might buy then? Realistically, come on. Don't, like, I know you want to get sentimental here, Poet, but use the last 5 years as a case study.
God.
What do you actually expect him to do in January?
I don't use the last 5 years for the simple fact that I know 2012, 2013, the conversation Gary Neville had at the end of the season when we beat Newcastle 1-0, he said that the following season when we built Mesut Ozil, that was the season where, transfer-wise, we should start judging Arsenal. Now, let's not get it twisted. Like, last year, in August, we came into the new season with Danny Welbeck, Sanchez, Chambers, Ospina, Debuchy. He made plenty of signings. So the fact that he didn't make too many additions in January, I wasn't too upset. This time round, mate, we've only signed Petr Cech. So I feel like the part we're at the season right now, he has to sign a DM.
Not only have you just signed Petr Cech, you've also lost those guys for injury again.
We've lost so many. He has to get a DM. Cochrane was never going to be enough, really and truly. We need to get some competition for Cochrane. And we need to get someone that, even if we're playing poorly, he's going to give us, you know, that solid performance in front of the back line. Because Petr Cech was amazing on the weekend. The boys at the back weren't particularly good, and Flamini was just abysmal. So we need someone that gives the boys at the back a bit of confidence, and I don't think Flamini's that person. I think Cochrane was definitely that person.
Who would you have if you could have?
Unfortunately, in the market, who
everyone
can we
keeps
get,
saying
man?
Carvalho, don't they? That William Carvalho guy.
Oh yeah.
Why don't you just smash it out? Get Pogba. Just spend 80 million.
But
and
Pogba's
get Pogba.
Mad offensive.
Yeah, to be fair, he's not actually going to be the defensive guy.
I
need
someone that just sits and is not too concerned of going forward. You know what I mean?
He's got Ozil's position, Pogba.
Exactly. And the thing about Wenger, which I respect highly, which clearly doesn't sort of happen with Chelsea and a lot of other teams when you take a look at the signings they've made, Wenger always says, I want to get players that don't want to play in the Premier League, want to play for Arsenal. You're going to have to want to play for Arsenal. So once you've got that belief that you can play for Arsenal and perform, then moments when you're sitting down at home on Instagram thinking, mate, look what my other players are doing, man, I want to be here, you'll be like, actually, I want to play for Arsenal. I don't think Pedro particularly cares about playing for Chelsea. I don't think Costa's too concerned about playing for Chelsea. I don't want them type of characters in my team. So if we get a DM with I don't know who it could be. There's a boy from Sevilla. I think he's from...
Oh, Krychowiak.
I've seen him play, what, three times? One time when I went to go see him live in the Europa. He looks amazing. He
very
looks
strong.
Like very, very strong, dear. And hopefully someone like him who can come in and just give it a bit of bite in the middle of the park, I'll appreciate. But
I'd love to see you go out and buy someone. It really would. Like, I have a soft spot for Arsenal. A lot of people don't think that's true because I've said certain things about Ozil and Payet. But that's only out of frustration for wanting him to do well. And you've got to say about Ozil right now, he's unstoppable. If he'd played like this since he signed for you, he would be considered one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, but he could have.
Which is what he was considered. No, okay, he couldn't sustain what he's doing now, but he could have done somewhere in the middle. Like, he was non-existent in other years. And like the thing of it, a lot of the Ozil defenders would always say, like, oh, it's because he's playing with Giroud, he's setting up guys, they're not finishing. Playing with the same quality people now. Yeah. You haven't gone out in the summer, you bought Petr Cech, you haven't come out and bought a world-class striker.
You're right.
Why is he getting assists now? It's not because his passes are better this year or Giroud's finishing is better. It's because he's up for it and he's actually on form and he's cracking.
It's true. Yeah. It's mentality, isn't it? Gary Neville said 89% of the game is all up in the head. I just feel like if you've been sort of driven out of Real Madrid and the fans loved you, and then you come to a new place and there's a lot more games, it's a hell of a lot more competitive, it's more physical, probably doesn't suit your game ideally. And you didn't want to. It's not like he really wanted to come to Arsenal.
He wanted to stay
at Real. So I just think everything like that was just like, what am I doing here? It's cold. The girls are not as nice in Spain. All of them things just affected him. And now he's just at a point where he's like, do you know what? I'm enjoying my football. Wenger believes in me. And he's like the prince there. Like, everyone bows down to Ozil at Arsenal now. That's what he needed to feel. He needed to feel loved. He needed to feel important. And I think he's got that after 3 years.
He's just one of those unfortunate guys as well. He just looks like he's not trying. Even when he is, he looks like he's not. So when he's not playing well, it stands out more. It's like, I mean, Berbatov didn't work, but he also had that look of someone that didn't particularly 100%. Work. And Ozil's got that in his face, I think.
Before we move on, we should do a special mention to Stoke, aka Stoke Alona, absolutely destroying Man City.
Yes.
Bojan, Shaqiri, or Arnautovic looks unbelievable. It's like the new Messi, Suarez, Neymar. how good are those guys? Can Stoke keep that up, or is that a one-off performance, do you think?
Poet, please.
Do you know what? Nah, they're not going to keep it up. But it just shows you the quality that's actually in the Premier League right now. You've got players that, if they're up for it on the day, they can embarrass some of the top sides in the Premier League. I don't imagine Stoke to do particularly well purely because of Mark Hughes. I don't think he's a great manager.
He's better than... I think the problem with him is he was at... Where was he? Was it Fulham where he had a good season and then wanted to leave and then...
Blackburn,
but he did a good job at Blackburn. He did well with Wales. I don't like him. And he looks grumpy the whole time. And he just seems like a man of women.
What I don't like about Mark Hughes is, if you listen to his interviews, he's got the driest lips ever. Yeah. He talks like he's got just literally been sucking on some cement.
Yeah.
He just sounds really... I just don't like listening to his voice.
Yeah.
But the verdict's still out on him. I think from the City perspective, what I learned from that game is... The whole thing they tried to change in this transfer window was spending a lot of money improving their overall team. They spent 50 mil on Sterling, De Bruyne, almost that much on Otamendi, right? All of which played against Stoke, to no avail. The whole point of getting those guys in was to make them not reliant on that central three. Okay, they have David Silva, who's also one of them, but Kompany, Yaya and Aguero, who were all missing and they looked awful. Mm. For me, even though they've bought Sterling and De Bruyne and whatnot, if they don't have those guys in there, they're not the same team.
I'll be honest with you, I think Yaya's passed it. I don't think Kompany's particularly amazing. I think that's just a really tired excuse that Pellegrini used.
What's wrong with them then? Why are they not?
They're just getting old.
They're getting old.
No, I mean, what's wrong with the guys that did play then? Why can't Sterling, De Bruyne? De Bruyne has been great. I like De Bruyne. He wasn't good against Stoke at all.
He was better than most. I just think,
I don't think Bonny's good enough. I don't think Bonny. I think he was very good in a team like Swansea, and I think if he went to someone like Swansea or came to us at West Ham, he'd do fine.
He's a player that needs to be built around.
He's replacing Aguero. Aguero's scoring 5 goals a game or whatever, and he's injured, and Bonny comes in. You're lucky if you get a goal a game out of him.
But also, when Bonny was at Swansea, he's playing week in, week out.
Yeah, it's hard,
difficult to be coming in 15 minutes here, 25 minutes there, 30 minutes there, and on top of that, you know Aguero's a lot better than you.
Again, when you look at Bonny though, he looks like a caravan. Like when he moves around, he looks like he's so hard. He's like he's got a backpack full of stones on. He looks like it's really hard for him to move. He doesn't look at all like flexible.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe he's obviously very strong, which is an asset.
Yeah.
But he just looks really, really quite sluggish at times. Anyway, Man City are struggling. Great week for Arsenal. We've talked about that. What I want to do now, Poet, is learn a little bit more about you.
Mental.
What I'm trying to do, each time Tom and I, we have a third person on, we want to try and find out a bit more about them. We found out more about Tom last week, which was very interesting, 50 Shades of Thomas Grey. Check it out if you haven't heard it.
Very interesting.
We need to find out more about you. Now, I've known you for a while. I think I've known you for about 3 or 4 years now.
Yes, 4 years.
We've done quite a lot of stuff together. But I don't know that much about life before we both met at Copper 90. So, first of all, I know Poet, it's not your government name, as you call it.
It's not the government, no. It's
where
not
did you get the name?
Well, hang on, Poet isn't your real name?
No. Nah, it's not the name I can give to the police. They won't be impressed.
Is that, but why did you choose Poet?
I feel misled.
I do apologise, darling. No, I'll take you out for a drink afterwards. basically, when I was starting to get into the world of entertainment, everyone had an alias, no matter what he was doing. And we all started off by doing MC and Grime. So, but everyone had these really threatening names, and I've walked in my skinny self, nowhere near threatening, fresh Adidas tracksuit, looking fairly pretty amongst these bag of individuals that looked like they were going to rob me at any point. So if I came in with a name that was a little bit too, like, I want to be gangster type of thing, they would have just kicked my ass. But so I thought, what's a name that you can listen, have little expectation from him, but then when he does perform, you think, oh, he's actually pretty good. So I was like, Poet. Like, why should a poet be in an atmosphere full of Grime MCs? It doesn't even sound like make sense. So the paradox of it, I was like, I'm going to go with that. And then, and also I used to talk to a lot of girls who used to say to me, oh, look at you. It's like, you're always talking poetry. So I was like, yeah, decent, isn't it? I'm on with that. So, that's where it sort of started and went with it. Me and my brother were talking about it for a time. He's like, no, I think you should choose Poet. You should choose Poet. And then everything just sort of happened from there, to be fair.
And you're a bit like me as well, because you do a lot of stuff, obviously football related, with comments below and other things as well.
Yeah.
But you kind of came to it from a different angle. Like, I was doing comedy and other things, and then I started concentrating on football. You were doing MC and Grime and all this sort of stuff.
And comedy,
and and comedy as well. What was the reason for your transition, because you're still involved in that world.
Yeah.
What was the reason that you started focusing more on football?
I've got the shortest attention span in the whole world. Like, it's awful. Like, I get bored very, very easy. So when we started doing music and we're doing it. I remember one time we got offered like a single deal, and I remember sitting down with my cousin, and it was all too much attention. I was like, mate, I can't do this no more. This is all too mad. I don't want to be involved in this situation. I don't even know if people are saying hello to me off the back of what I do, or because the industry was so small, everyone knew everyone. When they were saying hello to you, you just didn't know what was going on. So I said, you know, I need to take a break from this, come out of university and just work for a little bit, live a normal life where I'm not involved in that and I don't get excited about things that essentially don't really have that much significance. So I stopped doing that, and then I said, all right, I want to start doing YouTube videos in like 2010. I started doing YouTube videos on just all comedy based, but I always used to wear my work tracksuit, which unfortunately I'm ashamed to say,
I know about this,
was a Spurs tracksuit, because I used to work for Spurs, which was mad controversial, but I wanted to make it so relatable because I always wore it. So if you saw the YouTube video, you would never be like, is that him? You would instantly see it's me, because I wanted to give the most honest depiction of my life through these videos, just in a humorous way. So they were picking up, like, at the time, like 100,000 views per vid, which was mad for me. I was like, my lord, what the hell is going on? Why doesn't anyone care about me giving relationship advice? And I haven't even been in a relationship. So that was really cool. And that was where everyone, so I always loved football. Then I moved away from that and just started doing like more music-based shows. The reason why I said to myself, I'm bored of doing music-based shows as well, is purely because everyone was doing it.
Yeah.
So I was like, what's everyone not doing in our urban world? And I was like, talking about football. And I always spoke about football on Twitter. So myself, Mitch, and a boy called Suave, we made a football show, and we said we're going to put it on a music channel and have music guests come in and revamp Soccer AM to a certain extent.
Yeah.
We called it Kebabs, Lads and Shinpads.
Yeah, I remember.
So
that was the first thing that I remember when I went to Copper 90, they saw you on, and then they got you in, and obviously you knew Vianic already, didn't you?
Yeah, I knew Vianic already.
And it's a great dream team, and it's been strong ever since. And it also takes me on to Filthy Fellas, which is what you do now. I've been on it before, I'm going to do it again soon. How did that all come about? Because that's isn't that from a WhatsApp group?
It's from a WhatsApp group. Yeah. So we had a WhatsApp group called Filthy Fellas, and we used to cuss each other. But essentially, all we spoke about was football. But then you'd have a dig at the way someone wears their jeans or their hair or whatever. And then I was like, we should make this for a football show, man. So we decided, it took a year to make it because I brought it to Copper. And I just don't think Copper saw what I saw of it, which is fair enough. They had their own agenda. So I was like, all right, cool, I'm going to do it elsewhere. Brought it to another production company, RWD. Tigo believed in it, and I said, that's it, let's just run with it. And thank you so much for being on, you know, the early episode.
It's good fun, mate.
And yeah, it's just,
I think Mitch went in on me for my shirt that I was wearing, because I turned up in like some kind of like checkered shirt or whatever, and like it didn't fit in with the it wasn't cool enough.
It wasn't cool. Well, for Mitch anyway, because that guy, my lord, he
Mitch dresses
cool.
Like a he's on a catwalk all the time,
24/7 on a catwalk. Like he's just, he walks around like he's got a photographer, which he clearly does, because he's taking pictures in places that don't belong to him, such as Knightsbridge. You don't have a house there, mate. You live in a bloody North London with
living
me.
A lie, Mitch.
You're living a lie. But it's a good show, man. I just think it's just like how you would talk to your friends. That's how we tried to make it. If you were sitting down in a pub having a drink, what would you say about these people, in opposed to being too Match of the Day, too Sky Sports? We don't want to set that tone. I don't talk to my friends like that and be like, oh, I think the tactics were... I don't. I'm like, he's rubbish, mate. I don't know what Jack Walsh is doing. Get him off the cigarettes. Get him out of the NHS. Hey, Welbeck, what are you doing? Your dissertation. Get on the football field. And that's how you want to talk about it.
Is he actually at university? Where's that come
from? It's just like he's just been gone for so long.
It's a good gag. I'm going to steal it.
Don't blame you, man. Steal it. But yeah, that's what I think is important. I don't want to... I've always been a person that's just like, look, man, you're a celebrity. That's fantastic. But you're just a human being. We're all human beings. So if I would say this about him, I'd probably say it about you as well.
Yeah.
You're not going to get any special treatment. I'm just going to treat you just like everybody else. We're all like cool people, man.
It's the right way to be. One thing I will say about you, I remember when I first met you, is I couldn't believe how like confident you were just talking to strangers. And I actually talk about you to other people sometimes. If you're talking about, like, for instance, one thing I always say about myself maybe is that I think I'm quite a friendly guy and I try to be open to people. But sometimes if you're a stranger, like in a shop or someone you don't think, once you leave the shop or whatever, you're never going to interact with that person ever again.
Yeah.
You don't always make the effort because you're like, you know, you're not rude, but you're not going to be over the top like nice, but you actually are.
Yeah.
I remember when we went up to Manchester and we shot one of the videos together, and I always remember we were in like a Baker's or something. It was like on the side of the train station.
Yeah.
And you went in, you were like, hello, darling, to the woman. By the time we left, the woman was in love with you. She was like, oh, I love her. And you were chatting, and it was like, I was quite envious of the way you are like that. And have you always been like that, super confident, talking to everyone?
Well, not when I was mad. When I was mad, I was mad insecure about my weight. I was like skinny, and so I wear loads of clothes to make myself look fat, which sounds really weird. But
that's
then when
that's weird. That I never understand that one. I was chubby as a kid. So
you're either one of the two usually. And if you're bigger, you wish you were skinnier, and vice versa.
Yeah, but I went to drama school, and it just all went out the window. I just thought to myself, I genuinely don't care about anything. I have a laugh. And my drama teacher always said to me, look, mate, if you can make someone's different person smile every single day, you're going to live a really good life. So I was like, cool, man. If I meet someone, they're cool. Have a laugh. If it means I never speak to you again, at least I might have changed your perception on speaking to people that you don't know.
Yeah.
The stigma within this country is like, oh, I'm doing what I'm doing. I don't
sit on
you.
The tube. No one talks to anyone.
And I'm from Jamaica. In Jamaica, mate, they play music on the bus. It's just, Jamaica's mad. Everyone talks to everyone. You can have an hour conversation with a man that you're never ever going to see again, and it will be one of the best conversations you've ever had.
I was talking about this the other day. I don't know why we don't have that. When you're on a tube or a bus or something, everyone in there would prefer to like sing a song, like everyone chanting or something, and you sit there. So I don't know why we don't.
And if me and you went on a tube and started chatting loudly, other people would be looking at us like, why are they talking? Yeah. Like, why do we not talk?
Yeah, I do it.
You instantly find yourself doing it because it's the way we operate in this country. It's like, especially on commuter trains when you're trying to get to work and it's really busy and you haven't got a seat. Yeah. Everyone just hates everyone. Doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
Like, I always think in England the natural response to a stranger is distrust. Don't like them. Don't want to know them until they prove otherwise, until they prove that they're a nice guy. Whereas your way of looking at it is like, everyone's my friend until they do something bad, which is a much better way of doing it.
I'm gonna leave this place now and try and adopt that policy and immediately get headbutted.
Whenever I'm with Poet, I always leave it and think, I'm gonna be more like Poet, I'm gonna talk to everyone, and a minute later I'm like, get out of my face.
Well, my dad believes we're all plants, so he goes like, plants in the summer, if you see them, they're full of colours, they're vibrant, they're amazing. The moment winter comes along, they all die, and it's all a bit miserable and a bit dreary. And if you look in the summer, it wouldn't be out of character for someone to come on a train and be quite lively and just have a laugh.
True.
When the winter time comes along, everyone's a bit cold, they don't really want to talk to anyone.
It's photosynthesis.
There we go. So that's where I make more of an effort, winter time. I make more of an effort to talk to people because I'm just like, I don't really like people seeing people upset. I'm just
you
like,
are the proverbial watering can.
Can you spell photosynthesis?
Easily, mate. Now. Photo. P-H-O-T-O.
Yeah.
S-Y-N. T-H-E-S-I-S.
That's correct. I just remembered it was photo, yes, no, the sis. That's how I remember.
Do you remember Mrs. Gren?
What? No.
Yeah, Mrs. Gren is, in biology, the seven signs of life. So, you know, you learn about the seven things anything has to have to be alive. And Mrs. Gren is the acronym.
What are they?
Movement, respiration, sensitivity, growth, reproduction, excretion, nutrition. Bang.
I got kicked out of school, but that sounds so sick. Education sounds cool.
Right, one thing we have to do before we finish is I'm doing a series on my channel right now, which is an advent calendar giveaway. So every day I'm opening some packs on FIFA, but I'm giving away prizes to people.
Oh, that's
and in today's one, cool. As in Tuesday, I said that I was going to reveal what people had to do to enter in this podcast, and I want it to be completely random. Basically, I said to the people watching YouTube, if you want to win this prize, you need to listen to the whole podcast, because at some point during it, I'm going to reveal what you've got to do.
Clever.
I want it to be very random. So you're quite well known for coming up with ridiculous hashtags on Instagram, right? Poet, you love doing this. So I want you to come up with a random hashtag that you've never thought of before. It's complete, just to prove this is completely happening right now live. Poet, give me a random hashtag.
My nan sold Weetabix to my dog.
My nan sold Weetabix to my dog. Tom, give me a random hashtag.
Oh, that was so much pressure. Don't go changing. I'm reading the back of the.
We'll take that one. It's
hashtag don't go. No, hashtag. Don't go changing Tom Gray. Then I'm in it.
Okay, don't go changing Tom Gray. Right.
Then I'm in it.
You've heard this, guys. This is what you now have to do. And it's going to be the first person that does this to me, tweets this at me, is going to be the winner of today's giveaway. You need to tweet me at Spencer Rowan with hashtag my nan sold Weetabix to my dog.
Yes.
And then another hashtag, don't go changing Tom Gray.
G-R-A-Y.
Great. It's G-R-A-Y. Okay, so hashtag my nan sold Weetabix to my dog. Hashtag don't go changing Tom Gray. People in your feed that follow you are going to think you're a nutter, but you've got a chance to win some cool prizes we're giving away today on the Advent Calendar series. And I will announce the winner tomorrow on my Twitter. That's Wednesday. So first come, first serve basis. First person to do it wins. We're almost out of time, guys. Before we finish, we should quickly shout out Newcastle, your team, Tom. Good win against Liverpool.
Good win. And if you remember from the last podcast, when you asked me who I thought was a promising player from the season so far, I said Wijnaldum.
Yep.
And he went and scored, didn't he?
Scored in the
night. I was up there, as you know, yesterday doing some stuff, and I was outside the stadium, and I had a ticket, but I couldn't go to the game.
You went all the way there?
All the way there to do something else, but it involved being outside the ground and couldn't get in the ground.
Did you soak up some of the atmosphere at
least? I did, yes. Yes, I did. It was good. But I'm not really, because I could have gone to the game.
You're still annoyed you didn't get to go?
Yeah.
But you were there for the 6-2.
I was there for the 6-2, and it was also incredibly windy up there. Desmond, or whatever it's called. And just didn't enjoy myself.
Those of you listening not in England won't know what we're talking about, but right now we're in the midst of, or yesterday mainly, a terrible storm. The wind, I've never experienced wind like it. Apparently there's people, a guy in London got blown into a bus.
Yeah, no.
That's how, it's a serious thing. It's seriously dangerous.
Yeah, you've seen Carlisle?
I've seen the floods and stuff, and Cumbria's got some really bad floods. What's happening in Carlisle?
The pitch.
Oh, the football pitch. Oh, what's happened?
Fully flooded.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Fully flooded.
They should still play, though.
Could Messi perform in Carlisle on a Tuesday night?
Yeah, oh, 100%.
I don't think he could. I don't think he could, guys. On that note, we're going to end the podcast here, guys. Thank you to Tom Gray, as usual.
Thanks very much, Spence.
Poet, it's been great having you on.
Oh, thank you.
Will you come back again later in the season?
Yes, this is too much fun.
Good, man.
I'll be doing Filthy Fellas soon as well. Check out Filthy Fellas if you haven't seen it before, guys. Also, we should say a big thank you to Dream Team FC. Of course, our sponsors. I'm going to be having a blog on there, which will be up by the time this podcast goes out, and there'll be a weekly blog on there. So check out dreamteamfc.com. And I think we've covered everything, guys. Second Jeez. Podcast. We want to try and get as high, if not higher, than fourth in the UK again. Cool. We did it last week. That would be amazing. And
I've come up with a good game if you want to apply it next week.
A good game. Oh, we'll have to save it for next week. Sweet. Now. Okay. Can you give us a clue about it?
It's basically you name three clubs, then you have to guess the player I'm talking about who played for all three of those clubs. It's quite good fun.
I like that game. We'll prepare
maybe
some.
Maybe four, because it might be a bit difficult in three.
But yeah. Okay. That's noted. We've got a week to prepare it. I said I'd bring you some grapes as well, and I didn't have time to get the grapes.
I noticed.
What I'll do is I'll ferment the grapes, and next week I'll bring you wine.
Okay, that's acceptable. Ooh,
that's a fair deal.
Will you peel the grapes?
Yes, but I did say before I have a strict no seed policy.
You did.
So as long as you're okay with that, we're good.
As long as you're okay de-seeding grapes, then we're good, yeah.
I'll just buy the non-seeded ones, but I don't
good
have to
point.
Do it.
Good point.
Sell them like that, you mug. Wow. Anyway, that's it for today's Spencer FC podcast. Thanks to Tom. Thanks to Poet. Make sure you check us out. Give me a tweet with any feedback if you've been listening to the show. It's a new show. Let us know how we can make it better, and we'll keep doing what we're doing. But until next time, I'll see you when you're older. Don't go changing.
Bye.